always done it properly, but I think overall this year I have made more time to sit, sometimes just be quiet, not do anything, just like listen, if there's anything that God wants to say, to read more, to just be quiet more. Life is hectic and manic, and sometimes it's good to quiet ourselves down. And I think in this year, because I have been more open to God and have spent more time with Him, I have heard God more challenging me on certain things that maybe I'm doing, and also prompting me to do things. And I think it's connected. It's not just, you know, oh, God is prompting me more just because. I think it is linked. Like, I have spent more time with Him, and therefore God has had a chance to speak to me. And I mean, that's led to me going on a retreat and to cook for people that I hardly knew, to pray for people and offer prayer to people that I didn't really know that well. And every time when I have stepped out and done what God challenged me to do, God's been there and, you know, being faithful to me, helping me, and bringing fruit in His own ways that I couldn't have imagined. So I think, yeah, I don't know what God is going to bring this year. I'm just going to keep going, spending more time with Him, and we'll see what he does and what He prompts me to do. But yeah, if anything, just try and spend time with God, and He will talk.
Speak to me, and it's October.
I just want to thank the Lord and all the, you know, in the River Church who prayed for my son Andrew. I think I shared that he was in a, I don't know what the name of that man was when he and I came up for prayers. Normally, I love to pray for others, but I don't like to ask prayers for myself or my family. But I think it was the Spirit of God that just fell, and I cried out because my son was really ill. But this is I'm emotional because what the Lord has done and is doing in his life. He was really ill, so he came back home. His skin was all erupted, and he was in a bad way. But my husband would not allow any food in the bed. This is the rule: no food in the bedroom. But for him, he said, "No, Grace, you can take his breakfast because you know, he had become so thin and everything." So morning, I used to take breakfast to him, and this is the word from God. I used to say to him, "The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face." This is a scripture from. I kept on saying every time I took food to him, I kept saying this, and now the same Andrew is out. His skin is good. He's back at work. And for this last week during Christmas time, he has gone all 5 days. Before, he had cut down only to 2 days. So I just want to thank the Lord and for the prayers, because prayers really work, and especially when we all pray together in unity, the Father really answers the prayers. So I just want to thank you, and thank you for the River Church who prayed for my son. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just wanted to thank River Church for praying for my stepson, Daniel, when he had his operation. Everything was a success, and it's shown me that prayers can be answered, basically. So my faith's gone up a little bit now, so I'm not as bad as I was. That's all, really.
Really, it's been a really difficult year, the last year, on a personal level. I found myself sort of drifting away, not doing the things that God wanted me to do, and it causes me to drift away. And when you're in a place like that, it's just no other place to go but back to God. Right up until 2 days ago, when I had just such a surprise at home, my son, who we prayed for ages and ages and ages, my son Jonathan, who was a young boy, I took to a tent meeting, and he was so touched by the Lord at that meeting, I thought he was going to give his heart to the Lord and really follow on with him. But it didn't happen, and he went through a time of drug taking and really bad times. But 2 days ago, he came down to me and he started asking me questions about God, which he hadn't done for many a year. And some of the questions he was asking, honestly, Christians wouldn't even ask me. So I know that God was still working in his heart. And then, 2 days ago, a parcel came through the post up at Espy's house. And I was so taken aback by it, I knew what it was because I saw on the label eden.co.uk. And it was a Bible. And it just blew me away because a son who I'd given up on, really, a son who I thought God wasn't going to save, I thought God wasn't even listening at times. But what God showed me was that underneath he's still working, even when we're not believing, even when if we've prayed the prayer, if we've asked for our loved ones and it hasn't happened, I'm just saying this morning, don't ever give up. Please don't ever give up, because underneath God is still working. He's still doing stuff, even when we can't see it, even when we don't believe it, he's still there. And I'm really encouraged by this. And he started reading the Bible. He started reading the Bible. And he started in Genesis. I told him not to, but he started going through the book of Genesis. And I just value prayer that you've given for my son, Jonathan. And please keep praying for him. Please, we want to see him in the kingdom. We want to see him in here. We want to see him praising the Lord. And next year, this year we're in now, I already prayed it this morning, but my gaze is going to be on Jesus now. It's rekindled something in me. It's the fire that was once there, it may be a little spark at the moment, but God's rekindling something in me. And I'm looking forward to this new year because I'm believing now. I'm believing the impossible is possible with God. I just want to encourage anybody who's got somebody they've been praying for years and years, don't ever give up, because God is working. Amen.
I just wanted to read out something, Steve, when you said something about Jonathan then. He's going to make me cry. Sorry. I was reading through my old memory book a few months ago, and when I went through a really bad time and was really going against what God wanted me to do in my life, when I came back to God, a friend wrote me this poem, and it just really reminded me of something you said then. It says, to tell you the truth, there was a time when I gave up on you. I think I even told God not to bother. I hated what you did after all you'd said, but I know you're not proud and I know it's not been easy, so please forgive me. God never took his eye off you, and you've worked so hard to prove me wrong. You've so much to give now, God has raised you up, and I'd love to say that this is it, the road will now be smooth, but you know and I know there are more mountains left to climb. Just never lose sight of the sun. And it just reminded me of what you said there, where you almost gave up. You know, I know that there were family members of mine who almost gave up praying for me, and I'm so glad they didn't, because you just don't know when God's going to do it. And you know, I'm so pleased. I'm so happy for you. Anyway, back on track. What has God taught me in 2016? Quite a lot. I'll try and keep it brief. A couple of things, really, over the summer, sort of just really simple things, which really still I'm kind of trying to remember, is things like there's no such thing as a good Christian, and that being a Christian isn't, I don't know, it's not something to achieve, it's a relationship. So like, when I look back on this year, one of my resolutions for next year is to try and see friends more who I've not seen this year. And I started to feel bad because I realised I hadn't seen a friend for the entire year. Like, and I was like, oh my goodness, like we've been in touch like via text, but we haven't actually seen each other. And the whole relationship thing just reminds me, like, you know, I was doing quite well for a few months, and then the last few weeks in the run-up to Christmas, I wasn't really reading my Bible and kind of stuff as much, and I felt a bit distant from God, and I started to kind of get back into that whole, oh, I'm such a bad Christian mentality. But no, that doesn't exist. There is no bad Christian thing. Like, it's just it's just that it's almost like me and my friend, we're still friends, but we haven't actually seen each other. We haven't been spending time together. So God doesn't love me any less just because I haven't been spending time with me. He just misses me. So it's just, you know, just trying to remember that God just wants me to spend time with him. Like Karina said, this year I have really been trying to spend more time with him. One thing I have learned this year with the whole, a lot of the things that have happened in the world kind of thing, in the past, they would have really overwhelmed me and I would have found myself kind of burying my head in the sand and thinking, oh, woe is me, you know, like a lot of my non-Christian friends have done this year. Almost all of my non-Christian friends have put posts up saying how horrendous 2016 was and how, you know, and then someone put one saying, oh, 2017 is probably not going to be any better. We may as well just, you know, it's just, oh, it was just doom and gloom yesterday. I don't know about you, but it was just so depressing seeing all my friends' posts. And actually, I've had quite a good year, like, and I feel a bit bad for saying that, but it's really because I've rooted myself in God, and I've, like, it's like the whole where the waves won't overwhelm you thing. Leading up to the Brexit vote, I was really stressed and freaking out about what was going to happen. Then after it happened, I was fine. I was like, oh well, it's done. You know, do you know what I mean? I'm really learning now to kind of take control of my thoughts and emotions. And something else that the Lord really showed me is that we have that same power that raised Christ from the grave. So there's been times where I've really felt the devil attacking me recently, and I'm literally able now to just be like, get lost. Like, and I recognize now, and I, like, especially with my own emotions and my own anxieties, I'm really able to recognize now when I feel that the Lord is, that the devil's trying to get in and get in my mind again. So I've really learned that this year. And like Karina said as well, like, the more I spend time with him, the more just like he uses me to bless other people in ways that I would never have imagined, just by me going about my daily life or by me wanting to buy a friend a gift. They're like so touched by it and like, oh wow, I'm really like blessed. And kind of the stuff I've done for Cecilia and stuff this year, she told me that I was her guardian angel. And actually, I hadn't seen her since January when I can't physically seen her. I'd been in touch with her, but I hadn't. I'd just been so busy all year, and it wasn't until September when Miriam started school that I got back in touch with her again. And it was just at that time that she needed me, and that's when we did the rallied around and gave her some food, and then happened to message her again at the beginning of December saying, can I come and see you tomorrow? And that was when she needed to move. And so it's like, you know, you can feel bad about not doing things, but God can still use you. So like, God was able to use me at the right time because that was when I was free, like, and she still sees me as her guardian angel, even though I felt bad for not being there for her for 9 months. But she didn't actually need me in that time. She needed me when I contacted her. So God kind of just used me. Yeah, God, it's all about God's timing. And so, quickly, because I'm running out of time, what is he challenging me for in 2017? There's a couple of things. The biggest one at the moment is that I've applied for a new job, which is pretty terrifying because I've been where I am for 8 years, and if I move it'll be a big change. So so I'd welcome your prayers in that. But I'm not actually, I'm stressed about it, but only in a sense that I'm nervous kind of the change. But I'm actually like, I'm not worried, because I'm just like, if it's right, it's right. And God has spoken to me what terms I'll accept the job and what terms I won't. So I know how many hours I would want to work. And if they're not happy to give that to me, then I'm going to tell them no. So I feel quite, excited, but nervous about that. So we'll see. Another thing was fasting and prayer. I felt challenged by a book I was reading to begin fasting more sort of on a semi-regular basis. Which is, it's going to be fun. But I'm kind of setting myself a loose target because I don't want to get into the whole I will do it this often, because I know then if I don't do it, I'll feel like a failure and then I'll start berating myself and then be like, oh. So I'm kind of trying to just be sensible and start small. And the other thing is the whole living by God's power thing. I kind of feel like I'm getting there with my emotions and my anxiety and stuff. But there's all the other aspects of my life, I feel like I really need God more to be involved in. So like my parenting, Tara and I's relationship, you know, my relationships with people at work, on the school run, you know, school mums, all that kind of stuff. So I feel like God's really challenging me to kind of have him involved in everything. So, but again, I'm going to try and start small. I'm not going to just be like, you know, start berating myself. It's just a journey, isn't it? And I think I'm learning just to be happy, you know. And the other thing is, some of you may have seen, I'd shared a testimony on my blog, which I started a couple of months ago, a few weeks ago before Christmas, and I never thought I would. I never thought I would write that story for the world to see, but I did. And 121 people have read it, and I don't know who they are. I just know how that's how many people have clicked on the link. But, you know, I never thought I'd be writing a blog like this, like with really personal stuff on it. But people, obviously God's using it to bless others. I don't know what people, you know, some people left messages on it. But, just God can use you, I guess, if you let him.
It's only last night, actually. I was listening to a sermon. I got this podcast called Moody Radio. It's in the States, but a lot of what they say is very relevant, and it's a lot of classic sermons that come up. But there was an interesting point in it where he said something in the message about, it's in Isaiah, which is the government will be on his shoulders. He's talking about Jesus. And I was thinking on that a little bit. And as I was thinking, he expanded on it, and he started talking about how God wants to carry our burdens, and he wants to work on our behalf and work alongside us. And that struck me about the humility of God, that he wants to do that for us. But we need to, I guess, this year for me personally, in most years, I want to carry my own stuff. It's like just use an analogy with shopping bags. If someone says, do you want me to help you with that? I'm like, no, I've got them all, it's fine. I'll carry them, and I'll be struggling, and people can see me struggling. So I guess what I'm saying is, we shouldn't really take on our own burdens. That's not our job anymore. When you become a Christian, a child of God, he wants to carry that for you. He wants to work for you. And we in our stupidity try and do it on our own, and we know that it's not going to succeed. But God's, he can see beyond. He can see the future. He can see everything that's going to happen. So we should let him work on our behalf. And I was just thinking a little while ago, as Hannah was talking, that I was thinking about the cross when Jesus was carrying it. I mean, Jesus, he was the closest to God that anyone has ever been. He was God. And he had a powerful ministry, and you thought he could do anything. But when he was carrying that cross, even Jesus needed help. The man got alongside him and carried the cross on his shoulders as well. So if Jesus Christ needs to do it, I think we should follow his example. Yeah, that's it, really.
Amen. Thank you.
Coming through from the year, we just want to say that the River Church has been an answer to our prayers. We started this time last year, we were in absolute quandary, and we were just really struggling to know how would we know how the Lord was leading us. You know, you read about people and you hear people say, the Lord told me this and the Lord led me to do this. And we just thought, how are we going to know that the Lord is leading us? With specific reference to moving churches. And we had a really hard time, you know, at the church where we were knowing and loving many people there, but really just feeling unsettled. And I think through the year we came to recognize the Lord's leading, and he's given us absolute peace, and we just want to thank you so much for being his answer to our prayer. And so I think through this year we've really, I wouldn't say we've learnt it, but the Lord has really helped us to tune into him and to hear what he's saying and to follow him, even when from a human point of view it was really hard to say goodbye and to move on. But it was the right thing, and the Lord really showed us that. And I think the year for me has just been marked by amazing answers to prayer. And one of them is going to sound really silly, but it also showed me that God's really interested in the little things in our lives. Because we had a cat who was run over by a car. And I felt really bad praying to the Lord for my cat. But the Lord miraculously healed him, and he's virtually fine, even though he had a broken pelvis and it was kind of touch and go at one point. But we also brought before him Chris's uncle, who had a heart attack and had 6 stents put in. And he has recovered. And we so pray that the Lord would use us also to reach out to our family. And your sharing of your son has just given me such encouragement for the year ahead. We have many family members who don't know the Lord. Lord, and we pray for them. So we'll keep praying. And I think going into the year ahead, I think I must just reiterate what Corinna said about drawing near to the Lord. I've just suddenly started reading George Müller's autobiography, and he was sharing in there about how many hours he spent with the Lord reading the Word and praying. And I don't think I can ever amount to those hours, but I certainly can do more than the few minutes I'm doing at the moment. So by the Lord's grace and in his strength, I'm hoping to get to know him better this year. So thank you.
See, this year has been fairly uneventful. And I was kind of looking back and thinking, I can't really remember what's happened this year, which I suppose is a good thing. But I do know that some of the things that God's been teaching me, and certainly I think probably the biggest thing for me is that I feel like a lot of my safety nets have gone. So particularly, obviously, mum and dad moving away. It's kind of, in a strange way, it does sort of feel like they were always kind of a bit of a safety net. And obviously they still are. But they're not kind of round the corner. They're not sort of, as immediate as they were. And then at work, my manager, who I got on really well with, and sort of one of my other colleagues that I was good friends with, they both moved on. And so again, it sort of just felt like a sort of a bit more alone, I suppose. A bit more kind of it's time for you to kind of take some responsibility and actually kind of, I suppose, growing up in a sense. I know it sounds strange because you're kind of always growing up, and it's not to say I wasn't growing up before, but I suppose I certainly feel like God's kind of used this year, even though it's been fairly uneventful, to actually kind of make me more mature and actually kind of say, well, it's your life, kind of you've got choices. Kind of, you can do this or you can do that. Kind of, it's your responsibility. It's your life. You choose. And I suppose that's hard because I think as I'm kind of generally quite happy being a follower. I'm quite happy just sort of being like, okay, if you want to do that, I'll just go along with it. And so actually, this year has kind of been a bit more of a year of actually being my own man, being my own self to say, well, if you want to do that, you can do it. If you don't want to do it, you can say no. So I think that's kind of been what God's been showing me. And yeah, I mean, I totally really get that sense, the same as Renee and Karina and I'm sure many others, that it's just so important to get in tune with God, because I think obviously with that, when you've got more choice, when you've got more freedom, it's actually much more important to be in tune with what God's doing. And I know I certainly spend a lot of time just on autopilot, just sort of doing things because that's what you've always done, or because that's what you feel like you ought to be doing, rather than actually spending time tuning in to God. So, yeah, that's me.
Can I see you? I was trying to see it this morning on the bus, and Steve asked me, what are you looking for? I think it's in 1 John, but I don't know which one, because there are three books in 1 John, isn't it? But this scripture, which is really powerful, is just as Jesus is, so we are in this world. We are healthy, we are blessed, we are highly favored, and we are prosperous. And this really works. When you, anything negative you get, and you say the scripture, because just as Jesus is, so we are. Because we've got Jesus in us. And this really works. It worked in my life. This morning, this is the truth. I'm sharing this testimony. I was getting ready to come to church, and Conrad, his legs were up, and so I had to apply some creams, and I'm saying, it's already 10 o'clock. I'm going to be late. But I just said, Jesus, just say, I'm this world. So I'm going to do it. I'm not going to look at the time. And I said the scripture, I said it loud. I applied everything. Took out his medicine, everything, and the bus, it normally comes I think there's a 10:29 bus, and it's already 10:30. I said, I'm going to miss this, but I kept on saying, hold up my path, and this is the truth. At R11 just came, and I think it was late this morning, I don't know, but the bus just turned up, and so I was able to come to church on time. So God's word is alive and it works and it's powerful for everything. So we are healthy and we are blessed and we are highly favored and we are prosperous. It's powerful.
I said to Terry, go first, because if I go, then the service will be over. I think unlike Pete, for me this year is about what hasn't happened to me this year. I really felt, I think from the beginning of this year as well, I really began to, maybe even more than a year ago, I began to really, you know, question sort of my existence. You know, it sounds really, I don't know, deep, but, you know, you go through everyday emotions, day after day after day, you begin to think of yourself, what's the purpose of my life, you know, and... you should be very careful if you do that, because things really turn around. And I really felt I needed to come closer to God. And little by little, I started doing so. And everything turned upside down. Everything, literally everything. Even to this day, you know, I sometimes just wonder what's going to happen. As all these real sort of events happened to me, it made me realize how much actually God is in control of everything that happens to us. Really, how much really that is true. I mean, the Bible says that not a leaf of a tree falls if it isn't the will of God. And that really is true. I mean, in so many ways, I've learned so many different aspects about myself that I wasn't so aware of. You know, I mean, everyone thinks that they know who they are, isn't it? That they know what they like, but they're not. They're just so fixed in their own view of themselves, and they don't actually pay attention of, first of all, what other people think about you or what God thinks about you as well. But then when you come close to God, all these things begin to break down a little bit. The one thing I can say before it's time to go home, it's that when you submit yourself to the will of God genuinely, wholeheartedly, God puts you through things, and God doesn't give you reasons, doesn't give you a reason why, you know. And a lot of the times you always say, God, why? You know, you want to know the why, but God doesn't tell you why, and he won't tell you why. And a good example of that is Job. The devil tried to tempt God and said to him, if you take this away and if you take that away, you know, he will curse you to your face. And God let it happen, and God never told Job that it was a wager between him and the devil. Job never found out. We know about it because it's written in the Bible, but he never did. But the whole point is that we try to reason our way through life, in a sense, because that's what we've been told to believe as human beings. We're intelligent people and blah, blah, blah. But God has a different way about us. And his way is, do we trust him? And do we trust him? And is that enough, you know? In a sense, you know, a bit like when you say to your child. And I kept on having this analogy of a father and a son, or sort of parent and child scenario. Do you trust your dad, or do you obey your dad just because he said so, you know? Do you always find children always say, why? That's so unfair. And you know what you're doing, or you think you know what you're doing, but your child doesn't, isn't it? So your child needs to understand what's going on. But then if you do understand what's going on, then you won't like it, isn't it? You will say, well, I don't agree with that. So God doesn't tell you why. He just puts you through it. And you learn to trust in God, not knowing why you go through what you go through. But you learn that God is always with you. He's always with you. And wherever is it that you go through, he's there with you. And he will sustain you. He will support you. He will strengthen you. He will teach you. And when you come out on the other side, you realize how much God is dealing with your character. And that is a painful process at times. It really is. It really is painful. Because, you know, God comes and really deals with your pride. He deals with your idea of who you think you are. It deals with your, you know, aspects of your life that you were not even aware of, you know. It deals with your childhood, it deals with your relationship with other people, and it deals with, for example, your personal ambitions, your aspirations, in a way that you never thought about. And the only way you deal with these things is by going through some real difficult tests. But in a sense, God only tests us because he wants to pass us and approve us, not to fail us. And I would say if you're going through really difficult times in your life, whether it's emotional, financial, physical, of any kind, you know, at work, at home, with your kids, with your parents, don't ask God why, you know, why, because I want to know the reason why, but just simply ask God, just be with me, and I trust that you know what you're doing. And in the end, I think God does know what he's doing, and you know, he will pull you through. And when you get to the other end, you might not know why, but you certainly know God better, I would say. Amen.
I think we will.